Chapter 12, Lunch Break. Melissa had been standing for about half an hour air drying when she saw Nala approach her. Nala turned the crank to lower the hook. As soon as the hook was low enough, Melissa slipped her handcuffs off. She sighed with relief as her arms were finally permitted to fall, restoring circulation to them. She collapsed to the ground after having been made to stand for hours. She felt a release of tension as the muscles in her feet, calves, and legs relaxed. The chain of her leash clinked against the tiles, falling in front of her and between her legs. A wave of dizziness washed over her as she adjusted to sitting down, and she tenderly massaged her sore wrists, which had borne her arm's weight during her long suspension from the hook.
"Oh, Melissa, you look miserable,"
Nala said with pity in her voice. Melissa looked up and saw Nala looking down at her. She was laying on the white tiles on her side with her head resting on her right upper arm. Her hands were still cuffed, she was shackled, and the chain that was padlocked to her collar was lying curled up in front of her. Nala squatted before Melissa and gently stroked her hair, looking at her with compassion.
"Can you stand again?"
Nala inquired. Nala had put her in the handcuffs she was still in and hobbled her. Nala was the one who had strung her up at the hook this morning, Melissa reminded herself. The hook that had forced her to stand with upward stretched arms for what must have been hours. The hook that had held her in place as she had been manhandled throughout the morning. Had she known what would be done to her? She nodded and sat herself up.
"Look, I smuggled something in for you,"
Nala said, and took a chocolate bar out of her pocket. Melissa's eyes darted to the chocolate bar. She was hungry. Her last meal had been breakfast early this morning, and she had been through a lot of stress since then. She wanted that bar. It was too good to be true. Was this a trick? Was Nala toying with her? She hoped not. Nala offered her the bar, and Melissa grabbed the bar with her cuffed hands. She tore it open and stuffed it into herself, like a famished hamster would shove a pile of nuts into his chubby cheeks.
"See, I told you I would get you some good food,"
Nala said and laughed.
"Come, let's get out of here."
In any case, Melissa thought, it was not up to Nala what was done to her. Nala was an apprentice and did what she was told. She would not be mad at Nala for what had been done to her.
"Thank you, ma'am,"
Melissa said, after remembering her manners while chewing the chocolate. Slowly, Melissa stood up. She wasn't hurt. Her muscles had just been under strain from being forced to stand for so long, and her wrists were sore. The chocolate bar was giving her new energy. Nala walked her out of the tiled room. She was holding Melissa's leash, but she was not leading her with it. They were walking next to each other, and Nala was chatting with Melissa as if they were peers, and Melissa not a naked and chained slave. As she walked, the cool chain slid over her warm skin with an odd intimacy. On her neck, she felt how the chain's weight on her collar kept shifting, reminding her that she was on a leash.
"Where are you taking me?"
Melissa asked.
"Lunch. Well, it will soon be lunch for the staff, so I'm tidying up the White Hall a bit. So I'm moving you out of the way. That way you can also relax a bit. That's probably better than hanging from that hook all day."
Relaxing sounded good to Melissa. She looked forward to sitting or lying down. If it wasn't for Nala, these people would just leave her hanging from the hook while they were having their lunch break. She shuddered at the thought. Other employees, who were fully clothed, were walking in the corridors as well. Melissa had the urge to cover herself. Her nudity had not been at the forefront of her mind while her legs had been hurting after she had been suspended on the hook. But now, as she was walking in the building among the staff of the health office, the exposure she felt was acute. She felt a strong urge to conceal her breasts and vagina. Yet she had no choice but to walk alongside Nala. Melissa pretended that walking like this was natural to her. Nala led her through a corridor that led out of the building. From there, Melissa was led to an adjacent building. The inventory clerk at the entrance scanned the tag on Melissa's neck, and she heard a beep. Then the guard told her, "The stall in the C4 barn," which Melissa understood was the location Nala would bring her.
Nala, who was the guy who took me to the bathroom before?
Oh, that was Killian. He is an intern here to learn some nursing work.
He is so mean. He kept zapping me for no reason.
Yeah, he's not good with animals. I've seen him zap other animals with his cattle prod for fun before. That makes the animals afraid of him, you know. I think he's just bored here and desperate for some fun.
Why does no one stop him?
Well, basically, he's not doing any harm. And when he's occupied with lower level tasks, he can't mess up any important things.
What do you mean?
Killian doesn't care about the work, and no one can fire him. He is the son of the head veterinarian. His father got him the internship. Killian can't even be bothered to put on a uniform. The head nurse tries to keep him away from important tasks because she's afraid he will mess them up. That is why he gets unimportant tasks, like basic care of animals, like taking you to the bathroom.
He can't be fired, even if he is breaking rules and torturing me.
Well, he is not breaking any rules directly. Our staff can use the cattle prods as we see fit, as long as we get our jobs done. And Killian did get you to the bathroom and back, so no one will give him a hard time for it. Well, except me, maybe,
Nala said and smiled.
Thanks for that. He was just zapping me for fun while holding me close with my leash.
Yeah, there is nothing that can be done about that. The head nurse told me that back in the days, staff used canes and whips to keep the animals in line. People like Killian used to be a real problem for the health office back then, because their unrestrained use would mark the animals. And then the health office got complaints from the owners. That is why the health office eventually switched to cattle prods. They are less likely to leave marks.
Can the staff not be told not to needlessly torture us?
Melissa asked.
The higher-ups tried that, but people just tend to fall back into their habits after a while. Issuing cattle prods that generally don't leave marks makes more sense, at least to the higher-ups.
How did you get him to stop?
I told him that animals don't respond well to arbitrary punishments. It makes them hard to train later. Animals need to know that they will be treated fairly or they can't develop trust in their handlers. That's something I've heard the head nurse tell him when she caught him doing this. And I told him that you had only been enslaved yesterday and that he was just being mean.
They walked down a corridor and the smell of animals became increasingly stronger. This was a barn, Melissa thought from the smell. It reminded her of a vacation she'd been on with her cousin as a girl. They had stayed on a farm. The smell reminded her of the barn from her youth. She had explored the barn and enjoyed the animals there. Beyond the door marked C4, Melissa saw a spacious hall where stalls lined the walls, reminiscent of barn interiors. Each stall was divided into a lower wooden section and an upper section with steel bars, the latter stopping short of the ceiling to keep the animals from escaping over the wood. Nala led Melissa past the stalls. On their right, there were enclosures holding goats and a sheep, each in their own separate space. However, one stall stood out. Its front was a full-height steel cage with evenly spaced horizontal bars reaching up to the ceiling, flanked by solid walls on both sides. Melissa realized that this stall was designed to hold humans, to hold her. Nala prattled on about the animals around them, but Melissa's mind was elsewhere, grappling with the truth that this time she wasn't here as a guest, but as an animal on a leash to be penned up in a stall. The animals looked up at her as they passed by. Nala swung open the gate to the barred enclosure, revealing an entirely empty space. Unlike the other stalls, this one lacked any hay, with its floor starkly made of cement. Nala let go of Melissa's leash and with a gentle nudge, ushered her inside. Melissa scanned her surroundings. It was more like a cell than a stall. However, it was much larger than her previous transport cage, allowing her to move about. She estimated it to be roughly 3 meters square, or as the English folks would put it, 10 feet by 10 feet.
Looks like your stall isn't quite ready yet. Don't worry. By tonight, you should have something to sleep on in here.
The mention of having something to sleep on alarmed Melissa. She turned around. Nala was still standing at the entrance.
Nala, how long will I be held here?
Oh, not long. Just until we are ready for the next treatments.
No, I mean, how long will I be held here at the health office before I am released to my owner?
I don't know, really. I haven't seen them process a slave for import. You are the first I've ever seen. I know that for most cattle, it is about 14 days. That is the quarantine period.
14 days? You mean I will have to stay here for 2 weeks?
Melissa was shocked. She had thought they would be done with her in the afternoon or early evening at the latest.
Possibly, yes. Wait here. I'll be back with some food for you later,
she said. Nala slammed the door and left. The door automatically locked shut, confining Melissa in the stall. Nala hadn't released her from her handcuffs and shackles. Even the chain leash was still locked to her collar. Melissa approached the bars, gripping two of them with her still-cuffed hands. The chains around her ankles made a metallic jingle as they scraped across the concrete. Resting her head against the cold steel, she peered down the corridor to her left. She heard the sound of the main door closing, indicating Nala's exit, though it was out of her sight, hidden by the extension of her stall's side walls. She scanned the other stalls around her. Some had goats and sheep, and some were empty. She looked around her empty cell. 2 weeks, Nala had said. That's how long she might be held here. She had been told at the airport there would just be a few checks. Melissa was distressed. This morning had been torture for her. She couldn't bear this. They intended to torture her here for 2 whole weeks. And she would be housed in this stall, in a barn, like an animal. Melissa was distraught and didn't know how she would be able to come to terms with this. The chain hanging from her collar slowly dragged over her skin. The soft rub of the smooth metal caused goosebumps. Melissa scratched her abdomen and her upper leg. She sat down and leaned against the side wall of the cage near the bars so she could see down the corridor and waited. Melissa looked at her cuffed hands. She had been handcuffed all morning. Her wrists were still red from being hung from the hook earlier today. Melissa wished Nayla had taken the cuffs off her. Melissa was in disbelief. The idea of being detained for 2 weeks felt like an eternity compared to the brief inconvenience she had mentally prepared for. An uncomfortable chill ran down her spine, the reality of her situation setting in. She felt a pang of dread, her heart sinking as the implications unfurled before her. The prospect of being treated like livestock, confined to this cold, steel-barred stall for days on end, only interrupted by dehumanizing treatments, was disheartening. Her thoughts raced, imagining the loss of freedom and the uncertainty of her future with no word from Arbeck. Anger simmered beneath her shock. A quiet rage against the injustice of her confinement. Her mind grappled with the prospect of her extended captivity. Melissa knew she would need to muster all her strength to endure this ordeal, to protect whatever fragments of her dignity remained in this place, where she was seen not as a person, but as an animal. Melissa noticed that at the bottom of the barred door to her stall, there was a gap left in the bars, likely a food slot. Eventually, Nayla returned with a plastic bag.
I hope you're hungry.
She unlocked the stall door and entered it. Melissa rose to her feet and moved towards Nala. Nala paused momentarily, her expression shifting to one of irritation as she looked at Melissa. Melissa caught this change and worried. Had she erred? She couldn't risk upsetting Nala, the only one who treated her with any semblance of humanity. Nala's face softened back into a smile.
I need to remind myself to teach you more about our protocols later. I tend to overlook how new you are to all this.
She looked at Melissa.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to take your handcuffs off.
Nala set the bag down on the cement floor and fished out her key ring. Melissa offered her hands. Nala had put the handcuffs on her after removing the catheter, and she had been in them ever since. Nala unlocked the handcuffs and pocketed them in her nurse's coat. Nala held Melissa's hands in hers and examined her wrists.
Oh no, that must hurt. I'll see if I can get you some ointment later.
Thanks, ma'am. Nala looked up at Melissa, her gaze getting stuck at Melissa's collar.
You'll be picked up later again, so there's no point taking your leash off. Or does it bother you?
The question caught Melissa off guard. Yes, of course it bothered her that she was leashed. She longed for the weight of the chain to be lifted from her neck. She was surprised by the suggestion that she might have some say in this matter. But considering her current situation, being kept nude in a barn with livestock, having been subjected to the cruelty of a cattle prod for Killian's amusement, and the recent invasive cleaning procedure in which a man had grabbed her labia in his fist and stuck a finger into her anus repeatedly, the leash seemed like a trivial concern. Her mind was more preoccupied with the prospect of being fed, hoping Nala had made good on her promise of bringing her something tasty.
Well, it is not directly bothering me, but if I can have it off, then that I'd rather have the leash off,
Melissa responded. Nala produced a key, and Melissa tilted her head back to facilitate the removal of her leash. Nala unfastened it, and it fell with a clatter onto the cement.
The ankle chains have to stay on, I'm afraid,
she said with a giggle.
They don't want to risk slaves bolting, and then staff has to chase after them. Come, let's sit down,
Nala suggested. They moved to the side wall and sat side by side.
Here, try this,
Nala said, passing a plastic container from the bag to Melissa. Upon opening it, Melissa found a generous serving of fried rice, mixed with chunks of omelet, topped with slices of succulent meat and a rich sauce. Nala then pulled out a plastic spoon and handed it to her.
Oh, this looks amazing. Thanks.
Melissa took the spoon and started shoveling some food into her mouth.
I picked it up from a takeout place just down the street a moment ago,
Nala explained, unpacking another container with the same meal for herself.
They have good stuff. I go there sometimes when I didn't get around to bringing my own food from home.
She started to eat, too.
Nala, what else will be done to me here?
Melissa asked after swallowing a mouthful.
We do a standard set of health checks for various imports. I can tell you what the checks are for imported cows and sheep. I've done those, but never for a slave. You are my first.
Nala responded.
You've never had a slave here?
Oh, we do sometimes, but for other stuff. Like to certify them for a sale, or to create a survey report in case of damages. Stuff like that. Not import checks, like with you.
Nala, if I may ask, why do I have to be naked?
All slaves have to be naked in Grabesh, unless they need clothes to do their job. It is the law.
Yes, I have heard that. But why is that?
Ah, I see what you mean. We learned this in school. This is from way back when there were wars between tribes here, and people from the losing side were taken as prisoners. Stripping them naked was part of disarming them.
You stripped them naked to disarm them?
Yes, so they wouldn't fight back anymore in their captivity. You are naked. Do you think you could fight like this?
No,
Melissa said. Not that she had been good at fighting before she had been stripped of clothes, but now that she was naked, she just wanted to hide.
Exactly. Naked people are very vulnerable. It takes the fight out of them. And so when the prisoners were later sold as slaves, they were already naked. It also meant that their stuff, like weapons, armor, and clothes, could be sold separately. So it means there is also more to sell, which makes good business in a sense, like when someone bought a slave to work on the field. They didn't care about having that guy's former shield or sword or whatever. So it made sense to separate the goods from the slave and sell them separately. And the people who bought them also had good reason to keep them naked. It makes it easier to keep the slaves in check. A whip is more effective when used on a naked person, and it is difficult for a naked slave to conceal a weapon.
Melissa thought about how her naked skin left her entirely vulnerable to being shocked by the employees, with no clothing to shield her from the painful jolts.
It also made sense to sell slaves naked on the markets so buyers can appraise the merchandise.
Nala continued.
It would have looked dodgy to see a clothed slave being sold, like the seller was trying to hide something. It would have looked like a shady sales practice. Buyers have to see what they are paying for in advance. When your owner sells you, buyers will want to see you naked. That makes sense, right?
Melissa nodded uncomfortably. Arbeck would never sell her, but Nala didn't know that. Still, imagining herself being sold and potential buyers inspecting her naked body was a scary thought for Melissa.
Eventually, these traditions became laws.
So I have to be naked, so I can't fight and conceal any weapons.
Well, yes, but there is more to it. Because of the stuff I said before, slaves tended to be the naked ones. Over time, people got used to the idea that the naked people are the slaves. Technically, slaves are the ones who wear collars. But if they are allowed to wear clothes, they might also use them to conceal their collars and pass as free people. So it makes sense that slaves had to be naked so their status could be clearly identified. And over time, the tradition was turned into the law. So, forcing slaves to be naked started out as a way to ensure they are disarmed, but over time, it additionally became a way to also make sure they can be identified as slaves more easily.
I thought it was so people could gawk at naked women.
Nala laughed.
I'm sure that plays a role as well.
So, I have to be naked so I can be more easily controlled?
Yes, that is the idea. People don't want to be slaves. They are forced into slavery. If slaves could free themselves, they would do so. Do you like being a slave, Melissa?
Yeah, this is great,
Melissa said, looking down at her naked body with her breasts and vagina exposed and her ankles hobbled.
Melissa, sarcasm does not befit a slave,
Nala admonished her.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, I do not like being a slave, ma'am.
And would you not free yourself from slavery, Melissa, if you are able to?
Melissa was surprised at the question.
Yes, I would,
she admitted. She wanted to add that she would be freed soon, that her owner was her boyfriend, and he had promised to set her free. But as she thought this, she realized how this would sound to Nala. Nala would think she was a naive girl. She might nod politely to not take away her hope for freedom, but Nala would not believe it would happen. So Melissa decided not to bring it up. She did not want Nala to think of her as naive.
And that's how it is for every slave. Nobody wants to be a slave. So when it comes to slaves, it is all about control. The colors, the nudity, the protocols, ban on money use, the use of honorifics, and so on.
Nala continued. Despite the gloomy topic, Melissa was enjoying the meal Nala had brought her.
Oh, Nala, this food is so good. Are you risking your job by giving me this?
No,
Nala laughed.
I was joking when I said I'd smuggle something in for you. We have to provide you with food that is in line with the nutritional guidelines from the Ministry of Health. But if someone brings you extra food and you eat it, nobody cares.
Nala took two bottles with juice out of the bag. She put one next to Melissa and one next to her. She took the leash chain and the handcuffs that were on the floor and put them into the plastic bag. Melissa was glad to have the instruments of restraining her out of sight. She didn't like to be reminded that she could be chained and leashed.
Are you risking getting into trouble by taking my leash off me?
She asked.
Oh no, the only thing you have to wear around here are the ankle chains. Some slaves are good runners, and we don't want to have to chase after them. The leash and the cuffs are optional. It is up to the handler if he wants to use them to restrain you.
Melissa was finished with her takeaway meal.
Thank you, Nala. That was great food. I've never had Grabesian food before.
My pleasure. Your first Grabesh food. So you've actually never been to Grabesh before?
No, this was meant to be my first time. I didn't know anything about Grabesh, and when I arrived, I was enslaved at the airport. In a way, I still feel like I have never seen Grabesh, because after they took my clothes at the airport, they locked me in a cage and sent me here.
Melissa lifted her arms, as if she was referring to her barred stall in the barn.
I never got to see anything else.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, and they tased me, twice, because I didn't know their stupid rules. Can you believe that?
Did you forget to use honorifics like sir and ma'am?
Yes. How did you know?
Nala laughed.
Because you still don't do it.
Melissa was startled when she noticed that Nala was right.
Oh, yes, you're right.
And then added a muted,
ma'am.
Look, I'm not a stickler for the rules, so I don't mind it personally, but some people take them seriously, and then slaves get punished. Actually, most people are like that when I think about it.
The first time I was tased was because they said I had to strip naked. I didn't believe them, and then they tased me until I collapsed to the floor.
Melissa said, hoping for some sympathy for what had been done to her. Then she remembered and added,
Mom.
I know. Most people don't really bother explaining anything to slaves. Slaves have no rights, so they don't bother explaining stuff to them. It is easier to just punish them until they obey. Actually, speaking of punishing, I should show you some basic slave protocols around here. If you learn them well, they will help you avoid being zapped by a cattle prod. Are you ready for a quick lesson?
Melissa was done with her food and had had a drink of the juice. She didn't really have a choice. But if this would spare her the jolts of a cattle prod, then she wanted to know this.
Yes, ma'am,
she replied.